Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back this Sunday to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So, today is May 10th, and it is Mother's Day, and I am always so excited about Mother's Day, one, because it's in May, and that means my birthday is 4 days after that, but even more so, it's probably the one day of the year that everyone celebrates probably one of the most important people in their lives, and so today, we decided to do a tribute to mothers. And so today's show is all about thanking those wonderful women who do everything in their power to make sure that the persons or the people in their lives are taken care of. So before I introduce my guest today, who is a very special guest, I am going to introduce my co-host as always. Hey, Fatima.
Hello, Dr. Guy. I would just like to say I cooked my mama shrimp and grits and $1 million bacon this morning because I love her.
Yes, you did.
So.
I love me some shrimp and grits. Well, I hope she
but
enjoyed
I'm really excited. I'm really excited about the show.
And in fact, Fatima, it was you that reminded me that today is Mother's Day because I keep saying this, and this is so true, and I don't know if I'm the only person, but I just don't keep up with dates anymore. Like, I don't keep up with dates. I don't keep up with the days of the week. Unless I look at the calendar or unless someone tells me, you know, what's today's date, I have no idea. I just go from day to day. Like, today's what? Is Monday? Oh, it's Friday? Oh, okay. Because all of the days just really do, they spill over for me. Like, working from home, it's really hard to distinguish what days they are because I feel like I literally do the same thing day after day, weekdays, weekends. So thank you for reminding me about this, Fatima. So today, you guys, this is the first time she has been a guest on my show, and it's probably long overdue. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guest today. It is Fidel Guy, my mother. Hey, Mom.
Hello. 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 Hello, Fatima. Hello, Tanisha.
Hi, Papa Guy.
Hi. Hi.
So for those of you who know my mom, you guys kind of know what type of relationship she and I have, and you know what type of relationship she has with everyone else. And so this is an opportunity that I have to tell all of my listeners how thankful I am to you, Mom, for every single thing that you have done over the years to make me who I am today. So when people see me and they say, oh, you're just so awesome, I am so awesome because of you, and I thank you, and I appreciate it.
Oh, no need to thank me, darling. No need at all.
So we have so many things that we want to talk about today. Fatima, I know you have some questions, and there are a lot of mothers out there who are either raising kids by themselves or they're married and they're raising kids and they're trying to juggle a household, they're trying to juggle careers and, you know, trying to make it work, trying to keep themselves from going insane. So today we're just going to talk about some tips, Mom, that you might have to mothers about just, one, how to maintain their own sanity, how to potentially juggle multiple hats that you wear as mothers. And then I would love to hear from my listeners. If you guys want to shout out your mom today and tell her how important she is to you and how thankful you are for to have her in your life, please give us a call. That number is, I drew a blank with our phone number today. Our phone number is 914-205-5902. So please feel free to call in with your comments, questions, or, again, if you just want to shout out your wonderful mother and tell her how important she has been in your life, please do so. So, Fatima, what questions would you like to start off with?
Well, I know, and definitely from counseling sessions with so many women who are moms, one thing that I've noticed is it seems like every mom has a dream for their children. And so my first question would be for you, Mama Guy, is when Tanisha was growing up, for you, what was the, I guess in some ways, maybe the biggest fear as a mom, like what was the thing that you worried about the most, and what was the dream that you had for her?
Okay, well, first I would like to say, being a mother, that's the hardest job in the world. It literally is. Society might not think so, but it is. Not easy at all. Once I had my baby girl, Tanisha, you know, I did a lot of loving on her, right? A lot of nurturing. First and foremost, let me love on this baby, right? So From there, I'm like, let me take some tips. It was a learning moment, too, for me because I was a young mother. So I had to get some learning from my own mom because this was all new to me. There's no handbook for mothering, right? Mm-hmm. So thank goodness for my mother who was there with me to help me with Tanisha. Big help. I'll never forget that. She taught me first, okay, this is how you put on a pamper. This is how you hold the baby's head. We got to start off with it as an infant first, right? Teachable moment. Mm-hmm. From there, I said, okay, Ma, I got this. She said, you're doing good, right? So as time going on, now my key was, let me educate her. Let me tell her the importance of education. I was a stickler about that. Let me see how she moves with learning. So I got her in school, right? She's in school. But once she comes home, now it's me and Mama. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do that homework with her. I'm going to see where she's strong at and where she's weak at. The school don't have to tell me. I'm involved with her. I'm going to see myself. So my push for her was always good grades. Come home, do your homework first. My fear was she's an only child. If I'm not here, who's going to help her out, Fatima? She didn't have siblings to take. That was intense for me. If anything was to happen to me or her father, it's just her. Who will she have to rely on for help? So I kind of pushed be able to take care of yourself, be able to take care of yourself. And I'm thinking in my mind, with an education, she'll at least be able to do that. She won't have to rely on a man to support her.
Yeah.
Because she will be able to make her own money because she's an educated woman.
Mm-hmm.
So me, with having just that one child, that was a big thing for me, Fatima, that she needs to be able to stand on her own two feet and not rely on anybody. I mean, anybody. You got to be there for yourself, Tanisha. And she kind of took it and ran with it. The good thing is that she was a studious kid. So it came very easy for her to continue her education. And I love that about you, Tanisha. You did that. You did that. Mother's very proud of you.
Well, thank you, Mom. I was just about to say, Steve was chiming in late, so I want to go ahead and get him in here because I'm sure he has some questions or some comments for you as well, Mom. So let's see. Steve, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi,
yes,
Steve.
Hey, all right. We have
How are you?
The principal of the show on today officially.
All right, Steve. All right, Steve.
Well, I wanted to jump in, and you know, as is well known, I met Tanisha in undergrad, and to applaud you for the wonderful job that you did preparing her for her entry into the real world. You know, she still was very studious and got her education, but was starting to get into some issues about balancing life. So when she made that transition from under your roof to out of your roof, what were some of your fears and concerns at that point?
Well, Steve, actually, at that point, I still had a lot of confidence in her only because of the way her father and I raised her. I gave her some values. And I'm like, if she went off of that, then that would be on her own end. But she had a great value system. I told her what to do and what not to do, as parents do. I mean, now, we mind you, kids don't always follow those rules. We get that. Nobody's perfect, including the parents. But she did have a solid foundation on what to do and what not to do. Does that answer your question at all, Steve?
Yeah, and I just also, you know, you can admonish her for being friends with one of my ex-girlfriends that was not a nice person, but that's another story.
Forgive her, Steve.
Well,
forgive her.
Right. Like,
I don't know. She did, they were, they were
forgive her,
kind of,
Steve.
They kind of clicked up together. She didn't know any better. I didn't know any better.
You got to forgive her.
I have.
Well, you know. Seeing that you brought that question up, Steve, you brought the question up about how my mom dealt with me going away to school. And this is graduation season. So shout out to every single person that is graduating in 2020. I am so sorry that it has unfortunately changed how we have graduations and how we celebrate our 2020 graduates. But I do want to say congratulations to every single individual that is graduating this year. With that being said, Mom, what would you say to mothers who are listening, who are preparing to send their sons and daughters off to college, hopefully send them off to college this fall? Obviously, COVID-19, things are up in the air, but at least I think most people are preparing with that intent in mind. What would you say to those mothers, and how could they prepare for that, especially when you have some that are going far away? For example, I left and went to New Orleans, which is, what, a 16-hour drive away from Chicago? So
longer than
you can't just pick up the phone and, you know, hang up and then be at your child's dorm or wherever they're living 20 minutes later. And so for some parents, this is their first time actually having their kids away from them. So what advice would you give to those mothers?
This is a good one, baby. Look, that was one of my saddest moments, to let you go off to school. It was. Man, I'm thinking about it now. I cried all the way back home, and we drove you to New Orleans. And that's a long drive to have to cry all the way back
long,
to Chicago.
It was a long drive.
It was a very long drive, but it was tough. But I said, okay, I got to let you go because you was adamant about, I want to go away to school. I want to go away. I really want to go away. And I'm like, okay, we have given you all the tools that I could possibly give you at this stage. You 18 and 19, I've given you all I can give you. Now it's like, let me see if she's going to use these tools and use them properly. I got to have faith that you're going to do right. You're going to stumble, of course. But I said, I got to let you go. And to be an only child, you can imagine how tough that had to be for me. And I couldn't show you all my fears. You never probably even knew that. That was I was afraid to let you go. But I did let you go, didn't I? I let you go.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be tough for parents to do that. And some just won't be able to do it. Some still going to let them go. And then you can't be calling them 24 hours a day. Give them a little breathing room. Give them a little breathing room while they all are away. Let them call you and say, Mom, everything is okay. I'm good. Which you did. You reassured me that you're okay. So they're going to have to give that space, as tough as it is. Somebody going to have to tell them, look, let that kid go. Let him go. You can't keep him in your bosom forever. We are not designed to keep you all forever. We are to release you out into the world. That's why we bring you up, raise you up, educate you, train you to let you go into the world. So parents, please let them go. Have faith that they will do okay. Yes, they will stumble, but they will be okay. It's tough, Tanisha. It's hard. It's hard to do it.
So I have one more question.
Sure.
What do you tell her about boys? I know education was paramount, and you wanted to make sure that she set herself up where she wouldn't need a man. But how did you approach relationships with the opposite sex with your advice toward her, since, you know, you had been primarily started out with her father so young?
You know what, Steve? Actually, I didn't even do a whole lot of talking to her about boys. And I'm not sure if your dad, Tanisha, because I didn't do a whole lot of talking to her about. Steve, you hear what she said, right? Yep.
Yeah, she
said her dad, so I didn't. So thank goodness for dad, right? I didn't do that role, Steve. I didn't.
So
her dad did.
So did you have mean girls? What would you were. The other women, did you give her the insight in?
Now, that, Steve, I did. I did, because being an only child, and she kind of got a lot of things, a lot of materialistic things. So to people looking on the outside, it's like she got a lot. You know, jealousy kicks in from girls. Jealousy, just raw jealousy. But you're young. They're immature. They don't know. They just see visual things. They're not understanding how that person comes about that thing. She wasn't working and giving it to herself, but to the outside, they're like, why she has so much? She has so much because her parents provided those things for her. So, yeah, I had to give the tips about the young girls being a little jealous and envious because she had so much. But on the flip side, Steve, I told her, look, you're blessed and fortunate to have these things. And not to be out there like, look at me, I'm the thing. You're the thing because you're blessed by your parents, not just because of your own doing. So don't get a big head.
Well, no, I have to admit, you know, that there was some jealousy, but I think a lot of it wasn't necessarily because of the items, you know, and I love Tanisha like a sister, but she kind of cute. You know, so there was that element that was going around with a lot of the girls about what guy liked her that didn't like them and things of that nature. So, you know, I didn't know that if that was something that daddy couldn't give her any insight on. That's kind of why I was asking.
Yeah, mama could. Yeah, and being a woman myself, absolutely. I have experienced that thing, Steve. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Mama guy, I have so many friends who are pregnant right now with their first baby, and they are terrified. And I was wondering, what advice would you give to first-time mothers?
It is a scary experience. You know, I mean, again, I was a young mother. I was terrified, Fatima. I was terrified. But again, I had such a loving mother as I was going through the process, who was there with me all the time telling me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We all get through it. She had a kid, remember? I mean, so we all make it through. As a woman, we make it through those pregnancies. We have those exceptions where, yeah, you know, some people for complications, the woman might not live through it, right? But in general, mm-hmm. you make it through that pregnancy. And it's great if you have somebody there to tell you, being young, it's okay. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. She was kind of giving me an idea of what I was going to experience. Was you going to experience some discomfort? Yes. She told me that. I would experience some discomfort bringing a child into the world. And I needed to know that because that helped me prepare, Fatima, for what's coming down the road. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So if you're young, because like I said, the first time is the first time for all of us, and we all have a first time when we have it. You can only prepare you so much mentally that you will get through it. You will survive, and you will learn once that kid come here. That nurturing, it kicks in a natural instinct for most women. Not all. We can never say all, but for most women, instinctually, it will kick in. And they will know what to do yeah. once they bear that baby. You get it?
Yeah.
You there?
When you were talking earlier about having your mom there to help you, it actually made me think about a conversation I was having recently with someone who was telling me she was so happy that because she was like she hadn't really been getting along well with her mom. And after she had her baby, she was so happy that her mom was there because she didn't know what she would have done because she was like, she really was lost. She was like, I didn't know what to do. And so she was like, that is the best person that you could possibly have with you, you know, especially after having your first baby is having your mom there because she was like, because she's been there. And yes. so when you talked about, you know, your mom kind of giving you pointers and helping you out, it made me think about that. So aside from Absolutely. Having like your mother there as a support system, anything else like maybe common mistakes or things that new moms might be scared of having, you know, bringing the baby home? Could you give any advice on that?
Okay, well, actually, it's just basic things that we all afraid. They might even be afraid that they're not putting a diaper on the baby, right? Right. I mean, it's so simple, but it's not so simple. You need to know and understand the cries of your own baby. Is the baby really hungry? Or is the baby really just crying? And these things come along, Fatima, as you spend time with that baby. We learn, mm-hmm. okay, is she really just crying because she's just being fussy? Or is she crying because it's time for her to really eat? And these things mm-hmm. you just learn as you go along as a mother. I don't need somebody to teach me. I got the baby right here. I'm going to figure that out. Okay, is she really just crying? Or is my baby really hungry and I need to feed her? A young mother has to learn it. She won't know that right out the gate. My mother, she knew it all. I mean, it was like, I don't know. What should I be doing? And she was like, no, the baby just fussy. She's okay. You done already fed us, Adele. But my thing was anytime the baby cried, I thought the baby needed to eat. Which was wrong. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She was just being fussy. She was just being fussy. But my mother knew from experience, no, Sadell, you fed her such and such a time ago. She's just being fussy. Maybe you just need to hold and rock her. So they will learn it as they go along. They'll learn it as they go along, Fatima. But it's not easy. But it can be done. And it can be done as a single woman, because we have a lot of single women out here doing it. They can do it. I was very fortunate.
I have a question, Mom. And being that I think every parent wants their child to have a better life than what they had, and that doesn't mean that the life that you had was bad, but I just think when I talk to parents, that's always one of the things that they talk about when they say, I just kind of want to make sure that I'm creating a better life for my child. With that being said, what would you suggest is a way to create a healthy balance? How do you make sure you're giving your child the things that you didn't have an opportunity to have, but you're still able to instill in that child a sense of responsibility and good work ethic? Because unfortunately, I think what I run into sometimes in my office are parents who are now bringing in their kids who are like 16 and 17, and they don't drive. And to me, and Steve and Fatima, you guys can speak to this too, but I couldn't think about anything in high school but driving. Like, I had to get my license. It was so important for me to get my license. That was literally the only thing on my mind until I got it. So when I see these 16, 17-year-olds in my office, male and female, and not only do they not want to drive or the fact that they don't have a license, they have no plans, no desire of driving. And when we talk about it, they're kind of like, why do I need to drive? Like, my parents take me where I need to go, or I can Uber. And so the parents are over here, like, pulling their hair out because they're trying to drive their kids somewhere, pick them up, and do everything. And so it becomes an inconvenience for them, and they're just like, how do I get my child to understand, one, I need you to get a license, and then, two, I need you to go find a job. And these kids don't have a desire to work. And if they do work, they quit because they say it's too much work. So how do you give your child more than what you had, because that is the goal, but still kind of create that balance so that your kid develops a good sense of work ethic?
You still have to teach that child to be independent. Even though you were given a lot was required and a lot was expected from on your end. I'm doing what I'm doing on my end, but it still was a lot expected from you. You had to learn how to get your driver's license. You had chores to do. You earned an allowance when you did your chores. That's how you teach them. You cannot give a kid just free rein of everything. There's no consequences to nothing you do. You don't have to be responsible for anything. I'm just going to give you. That is not good for anybody. You can give, but you got to earn what I'm giving you. You had to earn your allowance. I didn't just give you money just to give you because I love you and you're a cutie pie. I gave you because when I told you to go in there, you know, such a day, you have to wash the dishes. Now you have earned your pay. You have earned your pay. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You have to teach them to be independent. You cannot give them a silver platter and just say, here, this is what the world's going to do for you, because the world is not going to do that. Consequences for your actions.
I absolutely agree.
Makes sense to me.
Well, and I think if we think about, I mean, what you're saying is so spot on, because I think, like, I see this a lot where I see parents who, you know, maybe have worked really hard and, you know, attained some measure of success, and then their children don't even come up to that same level. And I think because a lot of times what we see is that people want to give their children all the things that they didn't have, but nothing was required of the children. So, like, when you talked right. about chores, having chores, like, they didn't have chores. They didn't. So they everything, they were given everything, but they weren't required to have to work hard for it or earn anything. So then they grow up with this sense of entitlement that everything is going to be given to them, and this expectation that it's just supposed to come easy. So they don't know how to work hard for anything.
Correct.
And so I loved what you said and the way you explained that. I think it's spot on.
Yeah.
When you said chores, Mom, what I remember in Fatima, do you remember Soul Train?
Yeah.
I know Steve remembers it. Okay. So Saturday morning, and I'm sure there's a whole generation of folks that don't even know what Soul Train is, but every Saturday, Soul Train used to come on at 11 o'clock on WGN, Chicago Station. And I remember I needed to get up and do my chores and clean up and do everything that I needed to get done, because by 11 o'clock I had to be in front of the TV to watch Soul Train to see what the latest dance of the week was so that I could do it in front of my mom and be like, yeah, I got this. And that was my motivation. Mom, you don't want to watch Soul Train?
Yes, I do. But I didn't know
that
was your reason.
On Saturday morning was to get up and get everything done, because I needed to be in front of that TV to watch Soul Train. And so it didn't even seem like it was a chore. It just seemed as though this is your routine, like this is what you have to do. And that was a every week thing. Every Saturday Soul Train came on. Every Saturday this was my little cleanup routine. And it's funny because today people say that I'm OCD because I still clean the same way. Like, every week it's the same routine, it's the same cleanup. And they're like, well, what are you cleaning? I'm like, you got to clean up every week. Don't you clean up every week? Don't you mop your floors every week? And they're like, So I realized that is not something that I created myself, but that's my mom and that's my dad. That's something that I think has just been embedded in my head early back, you know, like as early as I can remember Soul Train.
Wow.
That is so funny. Well, my chores definitely felt like chores. I actually, friends that I grew up with, and we will sometimes like reminisce about childhood, and the joke is always like, I remember when I used to call you, Fatima, and your mama would answer the phone and say, Fatima can't tell, she doing her chores. Like, my chores definitely felt like chores. You know, and actually, this is going to segue into another question because, you know, when I think about, like, mothers and my relationship with my own mother, as an adult, I see her completely differently in a lot of ways than I did as a child. And sometimes moms get the short end of the stick and get scapegoated a lot of times for things that they really should get credit for. And so, you know, as an adult, I had to have a conversation with my mom and just kind of be like, you know what, I'm sorry, Mom. Like, I'm sorry that I didn't see this thing, like, really the way it was. And I understand it completely differently now. Or, you know, and I appreciate that you did this, or I appreciate sacrifices that you made. So yeah. I wonder, Mama Guy, for you, is there anything that you would say, like, moms get a bad rap or get the they really deserve credit for?
You know what? Now, as a kid, a lot of times, especially I can imagine with a single parent, that they don't understand. Mom might be working a minimum paying job, right? So mom couldn't buy you the Jordan gym shoes that you see two or three kids in school have, right? Mom was trying to put food on the table. Mama was trying to keep a roof over your head. So, but maybe once they became an adult, and if mom is still not making a whole lot of money, they can kind of rationalize like, wow, mom was really doing the best she could with what she had. She literally could not afford to buy all of us Jordan gym shoes because she was putting food on the table. But they can rationalize that as an adult now, like, mom was really working very hard, doing the best she could. I could see that, Fatima. that a kid mm-hmm. not understanding that they can't get what every other kid get. Each kid is different only because of what's going on in their household. But as a child,
right.
you just don't see that. You just like, why can't I have? Because they have. But yet this family over here is struggling just to keep food on the table. And I'm not talking about some fancy food or they even getting desserts. I mean, they might just be eating beans and cornbread or something. But for that family, that's a meal. But that kid is like, well, why we eat this every day? Why we eat this 5 days out the week, beans and cornbread? Because this is all mama can do. This is all she can do in a kid's eye. But once they became an adult, I'm sure they can look back and be like, wow, this is just all what the woman had. This is all the money she had to make this happen. We need to respect that, wow, we was wrong thinking, what's wrong with that lady? She won't buy us no Jordan gym shoes. So, yeah. I can see some moms getting a bad break from that kid, thinking, again, in that kid's state of mind, that they didn't do all they could do for me, when actually they did do all they could do for you at that time. At that time, that's all they had. Yeah, that's a good question. I like that. Yeah. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Well, that question, Fatima, reminds me about a recent situation for me, and not that I didn't appreciate it when it was happening, but I didn't really understand the magnitude of it until a year ago. So when I was in college, my parents paid all my bills. They paid my rent. They paid my car payment. They paid my electric bill. They paid my insurance. They paid everything. And so I think my first 3 years of college, I didn't work. I was just a full-time student. And so they were literally paying for their household, their light bill, their electric bill, their car payment, their insurance. But as a college student, I took that for granted that they were literally taking care of two households. It was just, oh, this is what parents do. And so I'm going to go to school and do what I do and just wait for the money to hit my account because that's what they do, right? And when I that's what I thought. And when I moved to Phoenix 2 years ago, I literally did the same thing, and I paid for two mortgages and two light bills and two water bills, and I died. Like, I literally died. I was so struggling with that concept to where I set up my bill payments at different times of the month just because in my head I couldn't fathom that I had to pay double of those items at the same time. So I would always pay one household bill earlier in the month just so I could feel better, right? And it dawned on me that my parents did that for 4 years. And even though I was so grateful for them, my magnitude of gratitude went up exponentially when I did that for 2 years when I lived in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of those examples that as a kid you don't really make the connection or understand the sacrifice that a parent is making for you until you're an adult. And then you're like, wow, that was such a major sacrifice. So that's what comes to mind when you ask that question.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted you guys to have an opportunity to give a tribute to your moms as well. So, Fatima, is there something that you want your mom to know, or you want to say thank you for her, thank you to her? I know you made the bomb breakfast this morning, but anything else that you can look back now, hindsight, and be like, man, I am so thankful.
I'm trying to think of like just one thing. I mean, I think in general, and again, you know, I think it's also being an adult. Like, my mom, like at this point in my life, that's my buddy. And even though, I mean, you know, there are times where I'm frustrated with her, and I'm sure there are times that she's frustrated with me, but I think overall, if I think about anyone who has consistently had my back
and, you know, always wanted the best for me. And this isn't to take away from dads, because when it's time for dads to get their shine, you know, we'll do that. But my mom, like, she has always had my back. And, you know, times that I didn't know that she was, like, you know, praying and, you know, pleading with God on my behalf or something, or, you know, just really wanting the best for me in whatever the situation was. And you know, sometimes I couldn't be aware that those things were happening, but she was and is. And so definitely I send a shout out to my mom. My funny story, my mom in some ways was kind of like the neighborhood's mom. And this is actually something I wanted to talk about in the show, like untraditional mothers, because sometimes, you know, you can be a mom and you might not be a biological mother. Maybe you are the mother to the children in the neighborhood, or mother to, if you are a teacher, mother to your students. Or, you know, of course, mothers who adopt children. So I appreciate and definitely want to give a shout out to them. But my mother was kind of known in the neighborhood where, like, the kids were trying to, like, sneak and skip school and stuff like that. My mom would walk them to school, bring them to class, bring them to office. And so it's always interesting to run into people now who don't. And usually it's boys who are now men, and they'll see my mom and just give her the biggest hug and just, you know, say, thank you so much, Miss Rose. And one guy, and he's actually deceased now, but his mom at his funeral thanked my mother because he had told his mom how she would walk him to school when she saw him trying to do the wrong thing. And you know, he ultimately finished school and ended up going to college. And so I just really respect her for always having a heart for children, and loving on and somewhat raising children that wasn't even her own.
You know what, Fatima, I will agree and say the same thing, that my mom is like the community mom. Because whenever people meet my mom, like, they continue to talk to her. Like, when I went away to college, people would come by the house, not to see me, because I was away at school, but they would just come by the house to visit my parents. And so I realized that was, like, the norm. As long as I can remember, people, like, attached to my mom. Even if they're not talking to me, they're still talking to my mom. Or if they call me, the first thing they'll say is, so how your mom doing? Make sure you tell her I said hi. I've been thinking about her. And I think that's just because she has always been able to be, as they say, keep it 100. Like, it don't matter who she's talking to. She is 100% of the time. So even if the truth hurts, it's like she's going to give it to you. And people listen to it, and they receive it like, oh, okay, I take that. And so I'll definitely agree that my mom is probably the community mom. Absolutely. And there was something that I also wanted to say, as far as you said, moms, like, they may not have given birth to you, but these are still women who are caregivers and were, you know, cared for kids. And so I think about, like, my mom talks about her mom and how she was instrumental in helping her be a parent. So I always saw my early childhood as me having, like, the best of both worlds, because I had both my maternal side of the family, my paternal. So I had my mom's mom, and then I had my dad's mom. And so I felt like I had three moms, right? Like, if my mom wasn't around, my grandmother was, like, my mom on either side. And so when I think about that, see, you come to mind, because I know you grew up in the house with generations of women. And so you have these multiple mother roles, right? Or you have multiple women who at different times kind of provided these motherly things for you. And so I think that's what comes to mind.
Well, what's kind of funny is, I think and I've never really known this, but it seems that all three of our mothers have those same characteristics. As Dr. Guy referenced, I grew up in a real blended household. It was my grandmother, my grand aunt, my aunt, and my mother. So my grandmother really raised me. My mother was kind of more like a father figure in some regards. So I got more of the old people's wisdom from my grandmother and my grand aunt. And, you know, I was kind of laughing about chores in Chicago was cleaning your room. But chores in the country, that's your outside, so I wouldn't know if the phone rang anyway. So so I would be in the garden pulling up some weeds, you know, cutting some grass, picking some cucumbers, you know, those things that they do down south where, you know, I tease out the guy about not having a good knowledge of bugs. How do you know what that bug is? That's, you know, so anyway, and my mother was in the educational system, so, you know, she has taught a lot of people to read. When they see her, you know, it's, oh, that's Miss Jamerson, you know, tell your mom I said hey. And we have some distinct parallels in terms of, I tease Dr. Guy that she grew up in a house full of mammals, and I grew up in a house full of reptiles, in the regard that, you know, one of the things I have to appreciate my mother with is identifying a lot of my personal traits and characteristics and putting me in those positions to succeed that may not have necessarily taken a lot of her time or input. You know, as you all have known over time, I'm pretty independent in a lot of ways, and she put me in a position to succeed early on. And even I was just home this past weekend, and she's got some little boy she's helping, you know, so that's always been her thing. Now, she's not going to keep it 100. She's going to, like when I was in college, I told my one of my friends, my mom had came up with her best friend, and I said, hey, whatever you do, don't let them get you alone. And he was like, why? I was like, just trust me. So I left and went to the store and came back, and by the time I came back, they had him in my living room on his knees crying, thinking he was going to burn in hell anointing him. So, you know, that's more my mother. She's going to try and save your soul. If you don't be careful, you end up anointed thinking you're going to hell in 20 minutes if you don't watch yourself. So, you know, but I do appreciate, you know, the position she's put me in. I wouldn't have ever met Dr. Guy, you know, Fatima. Yes. And, you know, those are things I always thank her for. But for me, it was a little different because I didn't need as much hands-on, I think, as Dr. Guy. You know, she just kind of let me go because my personality is a little different. But just being able as a mother, like Mama Guy talked about, to be able to look at the child and see what the child needs and what the child doesn't need, you know. And, you know, Dr. Guy responds more to hands-on, and I respond better to hands-on.
Very true, Steve. Very true. You and your reptiles.
Hey, well, you know, we fend for ourselves real aggressively out of the egg, you know, so it's not that we won't pack up on you. It's just one of us is just generally enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I think I like my mammals a little bit better, just a little bit.
So
different strokes for different folks.
Definitely,
so,
definitely. You guys. Mama Guy, before I got to jump and give this one. So, being that I know what I know, that I'm not going to say what I know because we all know. When you have a child and they're going through the part of their lives where they're developing their wisdom, but they don't quite have it yet, how do you kind of manage that process of letting them grow without wrecking the car?
Okay.
Yeah,
Steve.
Like, you know,
okay,
without
Steve.
Getting in too much trouble, but you know, you got to let them kind of fall down and skin their knee, but you don't want them to drive it off the cliff either.
Right. But again, Steve, that go back to you give them the basic, right? You give them the basic. Mm-hmm. Whatever your basic is, you give it to them and you give it to them hard, right? You give it to them hard,
mm-hmm.
right? And like I said,
mm-hmm.
we already know they're going to kilter some. That's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's who we are.
Right.
We're not perfect.
Right.
Sometimes it's just unavoidable. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you some things we can't stop, see, even though we done told them not go over there and bump your head. Guess what? You keep going over there doing that, you're going to bump your head. But you still go over there and you bump your head. You get what I'm saying? You still going to go over
definitely.
There and bump your head, even though I told you not to go over there because you're going to bump your head over there. That's in your way. Some things, it's just unavoidable. It's just unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stay prayed up and just hope for the best. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you guys, I wanted to today take the opportunity for us to again say thank you to all the mothers for everything that it is that they've done for us. But before we end the show today, I just want us to take a second in remembrance of Ahmaud Arbery and the fact that he was actually born on Mother's Day 26 years ago. So even though we're celebrating the women in our lives, our mothers, there's a grieving mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, and she is definitely grieving the unfortunate demise of her son, who was running in his own neighborhood and killed for doing absolutely nothing. So for every mother who has lost a child, doesn't matter what age or whatever the means were, you have my deepest and humble thoughts and prayers that will continue to go out to you and your family during this time. Because I think that I don't ever want us as a society to become desensitized to the killing of an innocent person. Doesn't matter whether they're black, brown, white, just the killing of someone innocent. I think because we continue to see these, we get riled up immediately once we see it, and then weeks or months later, it's forgotten about until it happens again. And so I never want us to become so desensitized to it that we don't understand how it impacts the lives of the people who are experiencing the loss. So in our final thoughts, you guys, any closing remarks that you all would like our listeners to have today?
Yes. I'm sorry, somebody tried to talk? Okay. I would like to leave the listeners with that even though today is a day that we specifically are highlighting and celebrating mothers, we also want to keep in mind, sort of echoing what Dr. Guy said about those mothers who have possibly lost children, particularly mine is going to go to mothers who have had miscarriages, and so they have not been able to term that survives. I know a lot of women who really struggle this time of the year. And so even though their babies didn't leave the hospital with them, I think that carrying a baby and starting to form that bond with them, in my book, they are still mothers. And so I want to wish them a happy Mother's Day as well.
Absolutely, Fatima.
That's a good point, Fatima.
Absolutely, Fatima. Absolutely.
Steve, what are your closing remarks before we go over to my mother?
Well, since you all are counselors, I guess that you all hear a lot that it's always your parents' fault about something they did to you or didn't do to you. I don't hear that, so, you know, I want to highlight and let everybody know that mothers are people. There's no handbook to this. They're not mystical creatures like unicorns that can understand all of the implications of everything they do and how it's going to affect you. They're doing the best that they know how, however that comes out. So, you know, for the things that you may think they've done wrong to you or slighted you, just remember they're just people trying to do the best that they can.
Absolutely, Steve.
Absolutely.
I love that, Steve.
Absolutely.
Steve, I do. I love that, Steve, because it's true. Because society seems to think that mothers, you know, we have this image that we're perfect. We're not.
Right.
We're not. We
right.
make mistakes, too. We really
right.
do. We do our best, but we do make mistakes, too.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And, Mom, do you have any final words for our listeners?
I just want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day and know that we are strong. Mothers are strong. We are resilient. We are. We hold the families together. Staying strong. Happy Mother's Day.
All right, you guys. With that being said, I want to leave you all with some closing words. So today we took an opportunity to celebrate the mothers in our lives. And for someone who might be listening to this, you and your mom might not be talking, might not be on speaking terms for whatever the reason is. And even though it may be a difficult situation and you both have decided that you don't want to talk to each other anymore, just remember people don't live forever. And it is much better to deal with those issues now while they're still alive than to regret that you had an opportunity when they're gone. So it's really important, you guys, to have the healthiest relationships that you can with the people when they are alive, because once they're gone, they're gone. And as Steve said, as my mom said, mothers aren't perfect, but unfortunately we do expect them to be perfect. We put a halo over their head expecting them to know everything to say and know everything to do. And unfortunately, they are doing their best. So with that being said, embrace the woman in your life who you call mom, whoever she may be, and understand that she's not perfect and that every single day she has an opportunity to continue to do better. So, Mom, thank you for joining me on the show today. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
As always,
bye,
you guys.
Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Fatima. Bye, Mama Guy.
You guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell everyone about Dr. Guy's Jumbo Talk. And if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, make sure you do so at Dr. Tanisha Guy on YouTube. Everyone, have a blessed and safe week. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.